Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, brings you St. Gabriel's Trumpet, a Catholic news weekly produced by AM 820 to keep you informed and up-to-date about what's happening in our listening area. And now, St. Gabriel's Trumpet with host Chip Stalter.
Good afternoon and welcome to St. Gabriel's Trumpet on this feast day of St. Kateri Tekakwitha, who was canonized by Pope Benedict XVI on October 21st, 2012. She was born in 1656 in New York, the daughter of a Mohawk warrior. She was 4 years old when her mother died of smallpox. The disease also attacked Kateri and transfigured her face. She is the first Native American to be declared a saint. Known as Lily of the Mohawk, she died April 17, 1680. We've got a full show for you today. We're going to learn about the Mount Carmel Maternity Pavilion that was recently dedicated. And Matt Palmer sits down with David Martin to talk about his faith and also learn what a double domer is. But first up, a marriage encounter weekend has something in it for every married couple. What you get out of a marriage encounter weekend will depend largely on where you are in your relationship on the weekend you go. You'll get whatever it is you need at that point in time. Like the parable of the sower that we just heard, a marriage encounter can provide some of the rich soil your marriage needs to bear fruit 160 or 30-fold. Carrie spoke with Elizabeth and Mark Ficicelli about the importance of attending a marriage encounter weekend and what a couple can expect.
Joining us today on the Trumpet are Mark and Elizabeth Ficicelli. They have been married 29 years this August, and they've been active participants and facilitators and presenters at the Worldwide Marriage Encounter Weekends. So welcome to the Trumpet.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
It's really fun to be on the radio with Elizabeth.
Yes, this is awesome that both of you are here together and to be able to share some of your experiences and the benefits of a marriage encounter weekend. So let's start off with, what is a marriage encounter weekend?
You know, Carrie, that's a great question because a lot of people have misunderstandings about what a marriage encounter weekend is. They think, oh my gosh, I must have, you know, have a failed marriage and that's why I need to make a marriage encounter weekend. And that's not the case at all. A marriage encounter weekend is a weekend experience that takes your marriage and makes it something so amazing, so awesome, something like it was for most of us in the beginning years of our marriage. So it's not at all a therapy program, but an experience where you will have an intense and personal, intimate encounter with your own spouse. And you'll learn these techniques to help you communicate and listen better and rediscover that person you married, which can often get so buried when life throws at us the things like children and career and bills and health and all the obstacles that we face as married couples. So it's an experience like none other out there.
That's wonderful. And I think it's especially in our world where we seem so busy and most of the time we're just like ships passing in the night as we come in and out of our homes and trying to keep up with our schedules to kind of reconnect and get back to our basic and our foundation. So Mark, tell us, what are some of the things that you can expect from a marriage encounter?
Well, one of the things that you're going to be very importantly experiencing is that there's a community of people that are involved with marriage encounter. It's not just a weekend. So the amazing thing that you gain from marriage encounter begins with the weekend, but it doesn't come entirely from there. There's a whole community of people that are all about having a marriage, having a great marriage, striving toward that, having great family life, having a great sacramental marriage. And you know, John Paul II said that I place much of my hope for the future in marriage encounter, which is a pretty powerful statement. But with the family being the core of society, having that tight family, which starts with having a great, tight marriage and good relationship, good communication, is important. So as Elizabeth said, the activities of life can be distracting. When you make that weekend, it allows you to focus back on your coupleness and your relationship. And then through our experience, the weekend is presented by three couples and a priest. And we share our disappointments, our hardships, our failures, but then also our joys and our triumphs, where we've utilized communication tools that we teach the couples and listening skills that we teach the couples to enhance our relationship. And in doing that, the couples then feel more comfortable to trust one another and to take those risks to share with the spouse, you know, these things that they may not have shared with them, or to listen in ways they haven't.
And as presenting a team, Mark and I, it's such a joy to give a weekend because we see this transformation take place from Friday night to Sunday afternoon. We don't know exactly what is happening with the couple because it's a private experience that they are sharing with one another and experiencing. But what we do see, it's so physically manifested. We see them coming in Friday night, maybe tired, maybe suspicious, like, what is this weekend experience going to be? They might not even be sitting that close together. But as the weekend transpires and they're working through things and understanding each other better and falling in love again, we see by Sunday, they're almost tangled up in each other's arms, you know, just so, so joyful. Like that spark has come back, that sizzle has come back in their life. And it's so fun to see that as a presenting couple.
Yeah, we have couples that range in age from 20s to 80s, married 2 years to 62 years. So it's not a age specific event, but we have just, you know, we've had couples that said, after this weekend, I shared with things with my wife that I hadn't shared with her in 40 years, mm-hmm. and the awe that they experienced just from that. Wow, you really trusted me, or wow, that must have been hard to say. That's become so obvious in that intimacy. Elizabeth talked about that joy, that sparkle that you see.
And what kind of benefits would you experience from a weekend encounter with your spouse?
Well, one of the things that Mark and I rediscovered on our weekend was the importance of our marriage as a sacrament. And that's a big part of marriage encounter, you know, but we began to understand all the graces that we have in our marriage and how that flows from us and, you know, how that can be used to not only build our marriage and our family life, but the church at large. And it really has an effect on a lot of couples in that regard, because we'll see couples begin to reengage in their church communities. Like Mark and I, we lecture together as a couple. We are Eucharistic ministers together as a couple. Even when we attend Mass and we've got four teenage and young adult age boys, we will color coordinate at Mass. It's just one of the ways that we show our unity as a family. And that's really at the heart of it. I know for Mark and I as presenters, we are in this movement and in this giving of weekends because we really truly believe in marriage and why marriage is the foundation for family and why that's the foundation for society.
I know for me, after our weekend, I really felt like I was a priority to Elizabeth. You know, she was really taking time for me and focusing on me and her relationship with me. And that was a really big deal because there's too many times when, you know, like many, we get caught up in the activities of life and you can feel a little bit like, you know, second fiddle. We have a ton more fun together. Mm-hmm. We do way more things together as a couple. We rarely do anything, you know, by preference, not together. We laugh a lot more. And
we also move through our disagreements much more quickly and much more functionally and get on, you know, with the good stuff of life. And that's been a real huge benefit. Our boys noticed our difference right away, right after our weekend. Even they could see, wow, you communicate better. And it's just enhanced our communication with them. They're more apt to share things with us. You know, we're all being able to discuss things on a feeling level where we weren't able to do that, you know, years back. So that's been another tremendous benefit.
So then by using the tools we learn on the weekend about feelings, identifying them, sharing them, then that helps us to kind of, as we can say, level the playing field. So we're not approaching a discussion from this real disparity in our emotions, but we're more level. I understand why you felt that way. I understand why you think it was kind of, wow, why did you feel that way? And then you can have that discussion about an issue or a situation that maybe initiated those feelings way more functionally and not in this level of volatility that often happens. And that was a really big deal for Elizabeth and I.
You know, I would have to say it's really been the best gift we've ever given our marriage.
So it's called Worldwide Marriage Encounter because there's Marriage Encounter in 90-some countries around the world. There are millions of couples that are have made weekends and are participating and involved in the Marriage Encounter communities. And that just not the couples presenting like Elizabeth and I, but there are just members of the community who support one another in their marriage and their commitment to one another and their what they've learned on the weekend. And so that is a really big deal, because now you're not alone. And it's not a one-time deal, that either you get it or you don't.
And there's so little in our culture, I think, today that supports marriages, that this is really a very viable means to enhance your marriage. And as Mark said, you know, continue to grow in that support. So it's really a great gift for your marriage.
Well, we really appreciate you both coming in and sharing with us on the importance of making a worldwide marriage encounter weekend with your spouse, and just the importance of respecting and honoring our marriages. So thank you so much for sharing with us. And for more information, you can go to www.mecolumbus.org to see the upcoming weekend dates that will be held almost every month between now through November. So thank you so much for joining us on the Trumpet today.
Thanks. God bless, Carrie.
Thanks. God bless, Carrie.
The Worldwide Marriage Encounter website has upcoming encounter weekends throughout Columbus. Please visit www.mecolumbus.org.
Okay, Sue, let's tell everybody what's going on in the diocese.
Okay, Chip. The Defending Faith Conference at Franciscan University in Steubenville will take place Friday, July 25th to Sunday, July 27th, with the theme Holy and Heroic, The Courage to be Catholic. The focus will be how to win souls, not just arguments. For information, go to Steubenville Conference website or call 800-437-8368. Parish festivals this weekend include St. Matthew, July 17th through the 19th at 807 Havens Corners Road, from 6 to 11 Thursday, 6 to midnight Friday, and 5 to 1 a.m. Saturday. Our Lady of Peace, 20 East Dominion Boulevard, Friday 6 to 11 and Saturday 5 to 11. And St. Joseph in Dover, 613 North Tuscarawas Avenue, Friday and Saturday 5 to 11 and Sunday from 4 to 9 p.m. Back to you, Chip.
Members of the Gallen family and their friends gathered for a blessing and dedication at the Dr. Joseph Gallen Maternity Pavilion at Mount Carmel St. Anne's in Westerville. The pavilion honors father and son Drs. Joseph M. Gallen Sr. and Jr. The blessing was performed by Monsignor David Sorahan. The Mount Carmel Foundation has established the Dr. Joseph M. Gallen Sr., Dr. Joseph M. and Janet Gallen Memorial Endowment Fund, whose primary beneficiary is Mount Carmel's Welcome Home Program, an award-winning initiative that provides infants and new mothers with free postpartum home visits by a Mount Carmel registered nurse. Aaron Stitzel of Mount Carmel St. Anne's joined Carrie to talk about the blessing and dedication of the maternity pavilion.
Joining me today on the Trumpet is Aaron Stitzel, who is the Senior Development Officer for Mount Carmel St. Anne's. And we're joining Aaron today because Mount Carmel St. Anne's just had a new blessing and dedication of the Mount Carmel Maternity Pavilion. Welcome to the Trumpet.
Thank you, Carrie. I guess I'll start by talking about what our maternity pavilion is and why it's so unique. Mount Carmel St. Anne's here, we have a very long history of serving women and babies that dates all the way back to 1908. When we opened on Bryden Road in East Columbus as St. Anne's Infant Asylum and Home for Unwed Mothers. In 1920, we officially became St. Anne's Maternity Hospital when we hired the St. Anne's first Chief of Staff, Dr. Joseph Gallen Sr. And throughout the years, maternity care has always been at the cornerstone of the service that we provided the community. In 2003, our maternity pavilion opened, and it's so unique because it's the only hospital building in Columbus, in the Columbus area, designed and utilized exclusively for maternity care. It welcomes nearly 5,000 deliveries a year and includes a level 3 neonatal intensive care unit that is run in partnership with Nationwide Children's Hospital.
The building was recently blessed and dedicated to St. Joseph Gallen. So would you tell us a little bit about who he was and why his work was so important to Mount Carmel St. Anne's?
Absolutely. Yes, our maternity pavilion was recently renamed the Dr. Joseph Gallen Maternity Pavilion to pay tribute to two very important doctors who were vital to the history of St. Anne's and who touched the lives of thousands of women here in Central Ohio. Dr. Joseph Gallen Sr. was hired as the first chief of staff of St. Anne's in 1920 when we officially became a maternity hospital. Unfortunately, he passed away just 2 years later at the age of 38. His son, Dr. Joseph Gallen Jr., followed in his father's footsteps and joined his practice at St. Anne's in 1952. where he served as our chief of staff and the chair of the Department of OBGYN for nearly 25 years. During his career, he delivered more than 12,000 babies, both at the old St. Anne's on Brighton Road and here in Westerville. He passed away in 2004 and was preceded in death by his wife, Janet Callen. In 2012, a group of dedicated community leaders led by Don and Nancy Kelly joined together to raise funds to start an endowment fund in Joe Gallen's name. The Dr. Joseph Gallen Sr., Dr. Joseph and Janet Gallen Memorial Endowment Fund supports Mount Carmel Health System's Welcome Home program for new moms and babies. And to recognize these efforts, Mount Carmel recently renamed our St. Anne's Maternity Pavilion in Joe Gallen's name this past April.
That sounds like a beautiful legacy to leave on for Dr. Gallen. Can you tell us also, a big part of this program is the Mount Carmel Welcome Home Program. What is that and how is it unique to Mount Carmel?
The Welcome Home Program is unique. It's the only program of its kind in Central Ohio. And it started in 1998. And what it is we offer free in-home visits by registered nurses to all new moms and their babies within the first weeks of being discharged home from the hospital after giving birth. The program is available to all mothers who give birth at Mount Carmel, but it focuses on reaching out to teen, first-time, and single moms. The goal of this program is for every baby to start its life healthy and reduce infant mortality. The program is funded 100% by donations to the Mount Carmel Foundation and will benefit greatly from the Joe Gallen Endowment Fund.
These sound like wonderful initiatives on behalf of Mount Carmel. Can somebody find more information?
Absolutely. You can learn more about the Welcome Home Program and this endowment fund by visiting the Mount Carmel Foundation's website at www.mountcarmelfoundation.org.
Thank you, Erin, for joining us today on The Trumpet.
Thank you.
To learn more about this program, you can contact Erin Stitzel at stitzel@mchs.com. Matt Palmer sat down with David Martin to talk about his faith life and how he puts that into action every day.
David, welcome to St. Gabriel Radio Station. It's so great to have you here today with us.
Oh, thanks, Matt. I hope I'm not an off note for St. Gabriel's trumpet.
Very good. Very good. Well, you've already shared with our listeners one of your beautiful traits, and that is this beautiful gift of humor that you have. And so thank you already for jumping us into that. That's great.
Well, you're welcome.
This is a second home for you. You are here often with Bishop Campbell. Tell our listeners, one of your ministries is to be a part of this beautiful radio station. Tell us a little bit about that.
That is true. I've been very blessed. Like all of us have been blessed by St. Gabriel Catholic Radio in all different ways. And I just started out as a listener, someone who was taken by what was on the airwaves and then got more and more involved. And was able to, my wife and I were able to support St. Gabriel Radio and then got more involved with the activities and eventually found my way to where, the problem is you volunteer yourself, you end up getting more. They have a saying, you know what Navy stands for? Never again volunteer yourself. That's what the military people say. But anyhow, what happened was that I was approached to replace Christina Klein, who is the host from the chair, and from the chair, of course, is Bishop Campbell's own radio show, where he comes once a month to speak to the faithful about any questions they may have on the life of the church, the life of the diocese. And I was thrilled because the way I saw it, I was going to get to be the Ed McMahon to the bishop's Johnny Carson. And that's exactly what it is.
It's a wonderful show.
It's wonderful because of the bishop.
It is. He does a great job. And thank you for the way you serve our diocese in that way.
Oh, you're welcome. And as people know who listen to it, it's a real treat. The bishop is such a knowledgeable man and so deep in his faith to be able to sit there with him each month and hear what he has to share about such a broad array of questions. I mean, sometimes we get callers and I think, now how is the bishop going to answer this? Because the question is either some very thorny contemporary question or it's some question about the fourth century. And the bishop always seems to know what's going on.
Very bright man.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah, he's a very gifted man. We're very blessed to have him.
Before we get too far into some of the ministries that the Lord has you in now, take our listeners back a little bit and describe your upbringing, where you grew up, and early schooling, your family back then, and help us understand you a little bit in terms of your upbringing.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. I think that's really important because if my Catholic faith means anything to me today, and it does, it has to be the result of the way I was raised. I was raised by very, very faithful parents in Euclid, Ohio, which is the east side of Cleveland. And you may know east side and west side is a very big distinction. So if you meet someone from Cleveland, make sure you ask them where they're from. But I grew up in Euclid, Ohio. My parents, very devout Catholics, cradle Catholics. I had three older siblings, two older brothers and sister, and we were all raised in Euclid at St. William's Parish, which was a parish that was founded really by World War II vets right after the war. It was founded in 1946, and went to St. William's grade school through eighth grade, and then went off to St. Joseph High School, which was one of the East Side Catholic boys high schools in Cleveland, sort of the counterpart to St. Ignatius and other schools on the west side. Was raised there by the Marianists, who were really very, very devout men with a huge emphasis, not just on Catholic faith, but on community. And so began to understand that this Catholic faith of ours is something you don't hold personally, but you share, that you live in community. And we had a wonderful priest, Father Jim Caddy, from the diocese, who ran the Search for Christian Maturity program, which was a high school retreat program. Very, very dynamic, really in a way ahead of its time, or very much needed, I guess you'd say, in the 70s and 80s, with an emphasis on young people going on retreat, really having a relationship with Christ that was rooted in the church and serving themselves and one another and the larger community. So that was all. High school was a fantastic experience, and then went on from high school to Catholic college, went to Notre Dame, and so continued to reinforce the faith and the live faith in community.
You're a lawyer, and you went to law school where?
I am a lawyer. I'm guilty as charged. I went to law school at Notre Dame Law School, so I went there both undergrad and law.
We call you a double domer.
For those who know, that's the term of art. 7 years in the Catholic Disneyland. Yep.
Wonderful. I want to share with our listeners the beautiful story of your vocation, your call to married life, and how that played out. It was a little bit longer journey than perhaps others experienced, but it's such a beautiful journey. Would you share your how you discerned your vocation and how that came to be?
Yeah, thanks, Matt. I came to Columbus after law school, and having been raised in Cleveland, I hadn't really thought of Columbus per se, but I had an opportunity at a very good law firm here during law school, during my clerkship summer, and basically fell in love with Columbus. And I remember telling my parents it's a big city with a small town attitude, and I really loved it. So I came here and started practicing law and was able to get involved in the community in various ways and got very busy with charitable activities and with families I was close to and with their kids and with work, and also considering priesthood and trying to discern whether that was my calling. And so years passed where I put my hand to all these things, and then finally it was really in my early 40s that I finally said, you know, I really do feel that I should look at marriage. And it was at that point that I think I opened myself up more than I ever had before and made time. You have to make time for the Lord to enter your life in different areas. And while you can stay busy in one area, which could be a very good thing, if you think the Lord has invited you to something else, you're going to have to make time for that to happen. And so I made time and opened myself up. And it was then, as the Lord leads, that I met my wife, Michelle, because I suppose that time was just right. And he blessed me with her. I met her actually at a coffee shop and began to have a friendship that blossomed. And 2 years later, we were engaged and married.
And now, 4 children later.
God is very, very good. God helped me make up for whatever you might call lost time. We had little Gabrielle 14 months after we were married. And then 14 months later, we had twin sons. And then 3 years later, we had another little girl.
So beautiful. Thank you for being so open to life, you and Michelle, and for sharing the joy of family life the way you do. It's just beautiful.
Thank you. You're welcome. Although, you know, as a parent, and I think every parent knows, there is nothing that you could trade for the child that God gives you. It's a complete reward.
So beautiful. Let's move a little bit. As an extension of your vocation, I know that the Lord has called you not only to ministry here at the St. Gabriel radio station, but also to some other ministries that are so important to our diocese. And talk a little bit about your involvement with SPO, St. Paul's Outreach. Share with us a little bit about Design Outreach. Both of those are neat ministries that the Lord seems to have called you to. Can you talk with our listeners a little bit about those?
Well, St. Paul's Outreach is something that I've been involved with for, I think, about 9 years now, because that's when Andrew Keeby, who brought it to Columbus, Ohio, it comes out of St. Paul, Minnesota, started by Gordy DeMaray about 30 years ago, where he was trying to reach out to college students who are Catholic or who are looking at Catholicism and introduce them to the truths and depths of our faith. it's as though the Holy Spirit knew 30 years ago, big surprise, exactly what we would need as time unfolded. And so this ministry is more needed now, I think, than even when it was founded 30 years ago. Andrew Keeby brought it to Central Ohio, and we have St. Paul's Outreach chapters both at Ohio State University and Ohio Dominican College, as well as at West Virginia's University, sponsored by us here in Central Ohio. The idea of this ministry is exactly to reach out to college students with the truths of our Catholic faith in a joyful, full, and complete way. I've been very blessed to be able to be on the advisory board here locally. It's a tremendous ministry. I think it's greatly needed. Let me ask you something. Are you a baseball fan?
I am.
See, so you'll get this. I'm not a baseball fan. And so if you and I were to go to a baseball game, we would sit there, and after a couple innings, unless somebody was really, really hitting it out of the park, I would be saying, Matt, I'm getting a little bored. I'm going to get a hot dog, whatever, talk about this. And you might be there saying, no, wait a minute. Look at that pitch. He's doing a curveball, and it's a 3-2 count, and left-handed batter, right-handed pitcher, right? And you'd see it, because I would see it like a game of checkers, and you'd see it like a game of chess. And George Will's book, Men at Work, really taught me that someone who really knows baseball sees so much in what can otherwise seem boring. And what I've come to appreciate is the Mass can be like that for the uninitiated. For those who don't understand the depth and richness of the Eucharist and of the Mass, they might sit there not appreciating all the levels that are going on and all the riches. And I think that that's a real risk for those who have not been catechized, including a lot of our young people. St. Paul's Outreach, part of what it's doing is allowing this new generation to become true baseball fans about the Catholic faith and the Mass.
What a great analogy. We're going to kind of wrap up there, David. We'll get you back sometime to talk about design outreach. But I just want to thank you on behalf of so many of us in the diocese that are just so blessed by you, your faith, your energy, your joy. You live this beautiful Catholic life of ours with great joy, great sincerity, great integrity, and we are blessed to have you involved in so many important ministries. Thanks for being with us today. Have a blessed day.
Thank you, Matt.
That's it for today's episode of St. Gabriel's Trumpet. We'll be back next Monday at noon with another great episode. If you've got a story idea or something crazy good going on at your parish that you want the world to know about, send us an email at info@stgabrielradio.com. For the St. Gabriel Trumpet team, I'm Chip Stalter. Deus vobiscum.
St. Gabriel's Trumpet is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Archives of St. Gabriel's Trumpet with Chip Stalter and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com.